Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 7th of September 2025. We're going to read two scriptures in starting, both from the Gospels. The first one is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and I'm reading from verse 41 to 44. Luke 19, 41 to 44. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Let's look at the Gospel of John. John 16, I'm going to read from verse 12 to 14. John 16, from verse 12 to 14. "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As always, we approach it with fear and trembling, knowing that your word contains life, and you've called us to life here on this earth. And I pray that as we share these words, they will in some great measure contribute to life. Life abundant in all those within the sound of my voice. We ask this in the wonderful name, the matchless name of Yeshua the Anointed One. Amen. The title of this message is simply Preparation. Preparation. I have often spoken along these lines, perhaps indirectly at times, but I felt it was important to focus specifically on this understanding of the value of adequate preparation. It doesn't take much sense to understand why preparation is important. Motivational circles always express how important it is to prepare, and the common statement is failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And yes, Christians are not exempt from this. We need to be people who are prepared for whatever comes our way. If we are going to sell something, it's worth finding out who you are selling it to, and of course, knowing very well what the product is that you are selling. Too often, sales reps are not conversant with their product, and they don't really take time to find out the needs of the proposed client. And as a result, the sale falls through. I remember one occasion when I walked into a music shop and I expressed to the salesman there that I wanted to hear equipment that had a good bass sound. He didn't stop to think what bass I was talking about. Immediately, he jumped up and turned on a big dial and my ears were bombarded with heavy metal bass. and he was grinning from ear to ear saying, well, this should do the trick. What he failed to find out first was the kind of bass I was looking at. And in my case, I was actually looking for a very good bass response for orchestral instruments, notably the string section. So you see, he wasn't prepared in a sense. He didn't know what was going on in my case, and I don't really blame him. But my point is this, that it makes sense. If you and I are going to be involved in some activity or other, if we are properly prepared, the chances of a good outcome, obviously, are much greater. If we prepared adequately for an exam, there's much greater chance of actually passing, obviously. And as I've said, we Christians are no exception. We need to be exemplary in preparation. But for us as children of the living God, this idea of preparation goes beyond just being prepared for day-to-day activities. And I'd like to just share a few thoughts on how you and I as Christians, children of the living God, have a greater, how shall I say, ability to be adequately prepared, as I'm going to explain. Now, the first thing, very important, obviously, once again, this is not rocket science, but to be adequately prepared, we need to know exactly what we are preparing for. Imagine if you said to a student, what are you preparing for? Oh, I'm preparing for an exam on history. Okay, very good. What history exactly? Well, I don't really know. Well, there's a lot of history out there. Are you focusing on the French Revolution, the First or Second World War, or what is it that you are studying for? Well, you see, if that student didn't know what the subject precisely was that he was preparing for, he'd waste his time studying a whole lot of things that are totally irrelevant. Now, this might sound very obvious, but let's look at it from a life perspective. As children of God, the first thing to understand is that we are, in our journey through this life, preparing ultimately for one great day. That is the day when you and I stand, in a sense, naked before the living God. Nothing hidden. And that is, if I can put it this way, the final exam for this life on this earth. And like every exam, we need to prepare for it. Too many people are so busy preparing in their life walk with extraneous matters and seem to put that on the back burner. But one day we will be presented before the Father. And you see, he's going to ask us a few questions, and as in any exam, it will be to our great advantage if we take the trouble right now to find out what that answer should be. He's going to ask us what we've done for him on this earth. If, as the Bible says, we've been rich towards God. And you see, a lot of people will be mumbling this and mumbling that and saying, oh, well, help the old lady across the road. But you see, that's not the question, really. The question is, did you know what you were supposed to do, and did you do it? And the point is that to give the right answer is not something that you and I can just, in a sense, cram for the exam at the last moment. It has to be part of our very life, from the moment we are born again. I always challenge children of God, before you carry on with this walk with God, make an effort to find out exactly what it is that God has called you to do. And you see, by striving to find that out and to follow that path as best we can, we are, in a sense, preparing for that final exam when we stand before him. It would be rather sad if we appear before him and, in a sense, the exam is about the French Revolution and we say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I studied the American Civil War. Well, what's the problem? You didn't take trouble to find out what the exam was about. That's common sense, isn't it? Why is it that we children of God come before God one day and we have to have God ask us, did you know what you were supposed to do? That will be very embarrassing. And in a sense, very sad, as I've said. So you see, preparing for this final exam, which is the greatest exam you and I will ever write. Our eternal destiny hinges on it. We look at young people, the stress they go through writing the matric exam. Why? Well, they've been brainwashed into thinking this matric exam is your key to the future. Your whole existence depends on how well you do here. And one is not saying we shouldn't be responsible about our exams that we do in our academic careers. Yes, they do open doors if we do them properly and we are prepared for them. That's true. But what is the bigger picture? One day we stand before God, we write this big exam, and we have to explain to him what we've done with our lives. And it's not a case of what we've done with our lives for ourselves. The issue is, what have we done with the life he has given us for him? You see? And to come to that place where we can give a good answer and, as it were, get a good mark, it takes preparation. You can't just decide the day before, oh, well, I'm going to donate all my goods to the poor and then God will be happy with me. Buy my way in. No, it doesn't work that way. So once again, as we often have said, it's important to take the time and the trouble to find out what God has asked us to do while we're on this earth. It's the life he's given us for a purpose. He's given us a time frame for a purpose. And we've been through this many times before, gifts and abilities, all for his purpose. And the big question which we have to prepare to answer is, what have you done with what I've given you? Very much like those men that were given talents. The landowner went away, came back. What was the question? I gave you 5 talents. What have you done with them? Can you see? And we need to be able to say, with boldness, without fear, with a rejoicing heart, Father God, you gave me these talents. I've multiplied them. I've done what I could with them. And then you see, it's a case of well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest and I'll give you authority, you see, over many things. There's a destiny in all of this, eternal destiny involved. But you see, that's one thing. We need to realize that this preparation business is an ongoing process. But there's even more to it than that. On this earth, be it that we are in the middle of our calling, etc., or in a career, inevitably we will face turning points in the road. That is how life is. It's not just a short journey from point A to B. Sometimes I wish it was. But in this journey, there are many, if I could put it this way, forks in the road. Major decisions we have to make. And those decisions sometimes come upon us when we are least expecting it. Let's look at the scripture we spoke about, we read in the beginning. The Lord looks at Jerusalem and he begins to weep because he knows and he prophesied very accurately what was going to happen in AD 70. Jerusalem was flattened. Everybody was massacred. It was horrific. They brought it upon them, if you think about it, because that generation is the generation that said, his blood be upon us at the crucifixion. But what the Lord was really sad about was the fact that they didn't realize the day of their visitation. They were a generation that, above every generation that's ever been on the face of the earth, had the distinct privilege of having the living God place his Son on the earth. No other generation has ever had that. And it will be repeated, but in another context, obviously, at the end of the age. And the sad thing, the tragic thing is that so many, especially people who should have known better, they missed it. Why? Well, in a sense, they weren't adequately prepared. And what I'm trying to express is that in serving God, being prepared for his call upon our lives is something that we have to be involved with on an ongoing daily basis. You've often talked about our relationship with the living God And as we've said so many times, the heart of Christianity is relationship with the living God, and we've often expressed how important it is to cultivate that relationship. But you see, there's another dimension to this cultivation of relationship, in the sense that we are able to prepare for what we can't realize is going to happen yet. There are a lot of wild cards out there. Everything is not, as some people would like to think, cut in stone. God's will is sovereign and it'll just happen whether you like it or not. Not at all. Our will is very much involved in this process having a positive outcome. Now, the point is this, that, you see, those people who were on this earth, the scriptures actually pointed to the coming of the Messiah. Herod went to the chief priests and asked them when the Messiah was going to come and where he would come from, and they could answer him. So they knew about it. So in a sense, they were prepared for the event. But in another sense, they were not really prepared for the event. Why? Well, as it turned out, the event didn't take place in the way they were expecting. They were expecting a Messiah on a white horse that would come and deliver them from Rome back to the days of King David and Solomon, and we'll reign and we'll go on forever. You see, that was their thinking. And understandably so, because that was their paradigm, their experience. But you see, in a way, God threw them a curveball. And that's what life does very often. We hit situations that we would never have thought about, possibly conceived of, but they come our way. And you see, a situation like that can throw us totally if we're not prepared, if we're not adequately prepared. But you see, if we are prepared, in the right sense of the term prepared, when that situation comes our way, with the help of God and His wisdom, it can be turned around and something greater can come out of it. The people of Israel were expecting a Messiah, and the Lord sent them the Messiah right in their midst, lined up with Scripture in many respects, supernaturally, demonstrating signs and wonders, and yet they missed it. They missed it. Now you and I are going through life, very often things come our way, and because perhaps we don't understand it correctly, we miss the opportunity. We miss the opportunity. I know a person who, and I'm sure this has happened to many people, while on vacation, came across a property down at the coast that was for sale, and he looked at the price, and he looked at his bank balance, ummed and ahed, could have afforded it, but hesitated. Years later, that property was selling for 5, 6, 7 times the amount he would have paid for it. Can you see? That moment of visitation came his way, but he missed it, as so often happens. But if you and I are prepared, in the sense of, and we're going to talk about this preparation in a bit more detail from a Christian point of view, but if we are prepared in the sense of we know what God wants us to do, that's why knowing our calling is so much part of this preparation process. You see, if we know what God's called us to do, when opportunity comes our way, we are prepared sufficiently to make the right choice. Let's take, for example, the whole situation of marriage. Many people, I believe, fall into marriage hoping that that will solve all their problems. Big mistake. There was a dean of a Bible college who said, a lot of the young men would come to him and say, "Sir, if I can just marry that girl, then I'll be happy." His standard response to that kind of statement was, "Listen, you need to be happy first before you get married. Because if you're unhappy and you marry somebody else, Instead of one person being unhappy, you're going to make two people unhappy. The point was, you see, that getting married wasn't the answer. Now, the point is this. If you and I know exactly what God's called us to do, that will help us to find out when we meet people which the right person for us is, because they will have a similar calling or their calling will dovetail with ours. You see, we are prepared for making this responsible decision about who to marry. Let's talk about where we live. I often say to people, you know, God's told me to go and live in Cape Town, and within a few yards of Clifton Beach, I've had 5 prophecies, 10 angels have told me, blah, blah, blah. The problem is, I know for a fact that that's a load of hogwash. Why? Well, as much as it would be nice to live in a beautiful place like that, I'm not called there, you see. If I had an opportunity to go there, I would say, look, it's very nice, but I can't do it. Why? Because I know where I'm called. I'm prepared to decide where I'm supposed to be. I hope this message is coming across. And you see, we need to realize that God has equipped us. Now, I need to just mention the scripture we read about the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says here. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Can you see that? He will tell you things to come. Now, please, the promise that he will tell you things to come does not mean that he wants us to all be like Nostradamus and predict the coming of the Messiah and know exactly when a cat will cross our road, that rubbish. No, no, that's not the point. The point of the Holy Spirit showing us things to come is that the all-knowing Spirit of God is able to warn us. We are merely going along our path, and the Holy Spirit, if we, now please, this is the important thing, are prepared. What do I mean by preparation? In this sense, preparation is having cultivated a relationship with the Holy Spirit to the extent we know his voice when we hear it. That is the most important aspect of preparation that any child of God can ever involve themselves with. Obviously, the world doesn't know that, can't know that, but we can. And you see, the point is, the Holy Spirit is able to warn us, show us things to come. So what? Well, when those things come, we're ready for them, we're able to take necessary action. We are prepared. You see that? Think of the wise men who came from the east. They went to Herod. Herod told them, when you hear where the child is, come and tell me, we'll have a big party and we'll celebrate. And the Spirit of God told them in a dream, don't go back, go home another way. The man's intentions are evil. Can you see? And that same direction is available to us. And in any situation, if you and I come to that place where we are prepared, we know beforehand what is going to happen, we are empowered. And that situation, no matter how dire, will always turn around for our good. We're positioned to successfully pass through. One other thing I need to just mention in closing. Very often, you see, opportunity comes our way. The sad thing, though, is that so often that opportunity comes our way, but it passes us by. And the reason being, yes, we are not adequately prepared. You see, we don't know when that opportunity is going to come our way. Gary Player, that famous golfer, made the statement. Somebody said to him, you're a very lucky man. His reply was, you're probably right. I am blessed. But then he said this. It's amazing, though. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Can you see that? The more I practice, the luckier I seem to get. Well, the truth is that the more prepared we are, the more readily opportunities come our way, A, we recognize them, B, and C, we're able to take hold of them. You and I can't say, oh, well, I'm expecting opportunity to come in 2 years' time, so I'll just take it easy for the first 18 months, and then 6 months I will prepare for the opportunity. How often has opportunity come and the person not ready to take hold of it is scrambling around, and by the time they've got their ducks in a row, that opportunity has marched on? To put it in a simple statement, great things can happen. Great things can happen when preparation meets opportunity. Great things happen when preparation meets opportunity. God spent many years developing the great men of God, years of preparation. Moses, David, Elijah, his son on this earth. But you see, that preparation, because it was done properly, empowered those men of God to seize the opportunity when it came. My prayer is that you and I, as children of God, could be in a state of constant preparation. And we're talking not just about preparing our skills for whatever it is that we plan to do, but continually shining up, as it were, this communication with the living God, the Holy Spirit, giving Him adequate opportunity to inform us what's coming, showing us what we need to do to be ready, to be prepared. And in a way, if we get this right, it's quite possible to live a life with no surprises. We're not saying no challenges. We're talking about no surprises. If you and I are adequately prepared, we're ready for the challenge. We're up for it. In a way, we can't wait for it to happen. And that's the way God wants us to live. Forward-thinking people, not just living for the day, and when the calamity comes or whatever happens, we're not ready for it. And in that situation, we miss out so many times on life's opportunities. In a sense, we're failing to prepare for the final exam when we stand before the throne of grace, and it would be in our great interest to have a good report. I pray you and I would be such people, in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.